Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall begin our afternoon class. For today and tomorrow, I'm assigned with two sessions, and I would like to utilize these two classes to share with you some of the basic concepts, some of the basic understanding of how to conduct a Bible study. Let me ask you one question. How many of you have been helping to lead Bible study in your local church? Please raise your hand. Pretty good. Okay. And as you are assigned to lead Bible study, if you have experience, you know that there are many different ways that you can apply it. Into the how to lead the Bible, how to prepare and how to lead the Bible study. And also, meanwhile, there might be some obstacles, some concerns that you have encountered during your during your assignment. Huh? So we would like to spend some time to talk about it. And if we have extra time tomorrow, then you can feel free, if we have extra time, you can bring up some of your questions, and we can try to address those questions. In our church, in TJC, basically there are two different ways. There are two different ways of service. The first one is during the first one is the regular service on the pulpit, which is only one direction. The speaker will convey the message, and everyone else just sit there and listen. Now, so this is only one direction, but we have different another type, which is through the Bible study. The Bible study is meant to be bidirectional, like a both direction, bidirectional, for both the facilitator and also the attendees to participate and to share, to mutually share and mutually be benefit. So to lead the Bible study is different. It's different than to give a speech, give a lecture, or give a sermon. So it's different. So if you are facilitating a Bible study, please do not treat it as a sermon. Do not take the hour and a half or an hour to purely share your personal points. That's not Bible study. Okay, there are a few functions. There are a few functions for the Bible study. No, I will not test you on this. So this is just for your information. If you find any typos, if you find any wrong words, you can tell me, but I'm not going to give you 1 point on your test. Okay, this should be very straightforward. Right? The idea of a Bible study is so that you can convey, share the knowledge, the Bible knowledge that you have received from your personal study. Second, from the interaction. You know that a lot of times we know really little about each other. Yes, we know each other's name. We might know each other's age. Where you from? What church you from? But a lot of times we don't know anything beyond that. What is his view on things? What is his in a lot of times you don't really know what another person is thinking in their heart. But through Bible study, by the sharing, by the points, by the points that was brought up from each other, you get to see the. You get to see the thoughts of another person, and that will help you to understand the other person much better. It will help you to understand. And also, you know that nowadays everybody likes to talk. That's why in a lot of meetings, you have this, you have people freely share and bring out their points, bring out their experience, share their experience. A lot of people love those sessions. A lot of people, that's why there are some denominations. There are some denominations that specially that emphasize on sharing. They like to hold forums, discussions for you to freely share whatever you want. Because nowadays people like to talk, or they don't like to listen. They like to talk, and sometimes it's needed. Sometimes sharing, bring up what you think, bring out how you feel, bring out your personal experience is needed. So through Bible study, the whole idea is to provide a platform, for people to share their personal experience, their understanding of the Bible, and their encounterance of life. So by providing a platform, they have a way to tell you how they really feel. Then by saying that, by being able to share, it create a sense of involvement. You know, sometimes if a person, you attend Bible study in the past, I believe, you know that when you attend a Bible study, if you just go and sit and throughout the entire session, you do not say a single word, what happened? Usually the Bible study is kind of boring for you. Why? Because you are not part of it. Yes, physically you are there. Physically you are involved, but mentally you are not there. Why? Because you are not contributing to any of it. You are not linking yourself to be part of the discussion. Also, you know that sometimes I see that, well, we see it very often during the Bible study. You see people start to like nodding, yawning, and like, you know, like mice wandering around, like going out of the place. But if they were picked to say something, or if they say something, they voluntarily share something, after they share for the next 5, 10, 15 minutes, you'll see that their concentration, their involvement, all the blood rush to the brain. You'll see that they got exciting. And then they start to feel that they are involved because what they have said is being discussed and evaluated by other people. So by doing that, in the Bible study, by allowing more people to talk, to bring up their own ideas and concepts and understandings, you allow them to feel that they are part of the group, the sense of involvement, which is very important for everyone. The fourth one, the benefit through different views, concepts, backgrounds, and life experience. You know that we all have different, whatever that just said it over there. It's all different. Different nationality, different. We were born in different places. We grew up in different environments, East Coast and West Coast. After all these years, still not getting along, huh? I heard that 10 years ago in NYTS, and still the same. And that's because we are from different environment. And you know that from different environment, from different family background, you were taught in different way. You were educated to deal with things in different way. You are trained to handle issues in different way. So you look things from different perspective. But if a person always alone, always by himself, or always hang out with the people that has the same personality, have the same characteristic, then the consequence is you might get along very easy because you view things in the same way. When you read the Bible passage, you explain the Bible passage identically in the same way, which is good. It makes things much easier. It makes things much easier. But at the same time, it creates a blind spot. It creates a blind spot. Also, if you are always hanging out with people just like you, then you might having blind spot in a lot of things that you see, or a lot of things that you do, all the decisions that you make. You think you are right. You will always think you are right because people around you will do the same. You will think that you are right until one day you run into someone holding totally different opinion. Then it creates a conflict. And through the conflict, it allows you to, of course, you have two choices. Total denial. No, Leave me alone. I will never talk to this person again. Or you can be totally denied. Go back to your comfort zone with your small group again. Everybody agree with everything. Or when you are in the conflict, you have the second choice. You can tell yourself, maybe I shall stop. Maybe I shall slow down. Maybe I shall meditate. Maybe I shall go back to the original question, and maybe I should think why other people view things differently. And that will help you to grow. That will help you to grow. So through the Bible study, you know that we have people from different age involved in the Bible study, hopefully. Because a lot of times when I attend the Bible study, like for the adults, and then when I talk to the youth at home, hosted the Bible study host in his or her house, and they just won't come down. And when I ask, why aren't you in the Bible study? Oh, that's for the old people. You know that sometimes if you allow yourself, force yourself, push yourself to join the fellowship or the Bible study of the old people, then that will help you to see a lot of things that you never seen in the past. You will possibly provide you a lot of information that you never thought of in the past. Because, hey, they are from different generations, yes. They have different life experience, yes. But at the same time, perhaps there are a lot of things involved in their life that might be helpful for us. There might be a lot of things that we never experienced personally, but by their sharing, we can sort of thinking, we can sort of imagining. If we were in the same situation, how would we handle? Will we handle this way or that way? Or they will create, or they will provide us a solution that works for them so that we don't have to go all over the tough time that they went through. So it's your call. You can always hide in your room and say, that's for the old people. It's not for me. It's your call. But at the same time, if it's your call, you pay for the consequence. So by joining different group, involved with different people, different age, different cultural background, from different place, even speaking the different language, that will help you to see things from various perspectives. Huh? Okay, usually when it comes to Bible study, there are several ways that people conduct the Bible study. The first one, for your information, all four of them are wrong, so you don't have to copy them. All four of them are wrong. Can someone tell me what's wrong with the first one? This is the facilitator. This is too small. That's more like it. This is the facilitator. For example, this is the attendee. So for the first scenario, what's wrong with it? How did you find out that they were too noisy? How did you get that point?
I didn't do that.
Okay, what's wrong with the first scenario? Let's see. Andrew Long? You know that you look very nice. So, the one next to Jessica, Marianne, what's wrong with the first one? Huh?
You guys are too complicated. Easy, just
Don't say that, oh, God is not there. Pastor is not there. No, 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 just very simple, just from the structure. Yes. And yes. 哦，这个吗？翻哦 ，OK， 好，好 ，Sorry。You know that when I first look at this diagram, for your information, I copied it somewhere else. When I first look at the diagram, I figured that hey, this is not bad at all, right? If I were conducting the Bible study, I would want my Bible study to work in this way, talk, I have people share. That sounds nice, right? But there's one problem. Here is the problem.What does that mean? That means when you are doing Bible study, when you are as a facilitator, you are talking, right? You have such a nice discussion, so they are all talking on their own. That's where the problem. You know that in some Bible study, it does happen. So you discuss about the Holy Spirit. Over there, they'll discuss the new stock market this morning. So if people are having their own private conversation,especially if you have a bigger group, you know, 10, 15, or sometimes 20, and if you don't pay enough attention, at the corner, they could be talking their own stuff. I cannot mention the church name. I was in a place, when they are youth, when I was in the social youth as a Bible study, they have a lot of people, 20-some people.And when everyone is having a fun, very nice discussion, and when I turned, I saw a few sisters. They were talking about pregnancies, because one of them just got pregnant. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with talking about it, but when you are facilitating a Bible study, if they have small group, they have their own conversation.Away from the main group, then it's no good. Huh? Also, the second one. What's wrong with the second one? It's a sister from Hawaii? It's not bidirectional. Very good. You know that this, I'm not sure, but you might observe this from your local church, because I have that in my local church, that the facilitator gets nervous.So what they do is they prepare enough material for 45 minutes. And then after they started, they just keep on going and going and going and put everybody to sleep. So, you know, the Bible study usually is hour and 10 minutes. And then slash the prayer and hymnal and prayer, right? You have probably, if you can push it, you can probably like 50 minutes to an hour. You know, so at that time when I joined that Bible study, after 45 minutes, finally, he finished his introduction. And then he said, anyone would like to share? I was like, well, 5 minutes. We have to finish. You know that I know that sometimes when we get nervous, we try to just say things, and we're afraid that if we stop, it might be dead, cold, silence. Nobody say a word, and you get embarrassed. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. Instead of you,talking all the way, instead of you doing all the talking, you need to find a good questions. Try to come up with proper, interesting, worth discussing questions, so that you can stimulate the participants to join. So remember, you are a facilitator. You are not a sermon giver. So make sure that you understand your role.Correctly. So, do not do all the talking. The third, what's wrong with it? Albert, what's wrong with, not you, but what's wrong with this? You know that sometimes you think that's not going to happen, but it does. It does. What happens is sometimes the facilitator, they want to have a nice discussion, right? They want to have more, let people talk instead of he or herself doing all the talking. So they know this person is very talkative. Oh, this person is very opinionated. Huh? Which sometimes the facilitator loves those people. They love them. So they will always say, oh, just point to a person, no? During the process, oh, Grady, what do you think? Then Grady will say, oh, this is how I feel. Huh? Also after, then, oh, that's very nice. You know, that's the point that Grady just shared. And then you have the next question. You say, Grady, what do you think about it? You know that because they know that Grady always got something to say. They know that this person is, you know, they always have opinion. They always have things that they just have to share. So it becomes an easy way out. You just always, Grady. Then it gets you through the, yes, go ahead. See, there are always people got things to say. Yes, opinionated, yeah.
What about those people who are, happen to be very opinionated and then they just, they kind of like, I mean, they're not the facilitator, but they themselves have like so much opinions to share and then they kind of like, they speak so much that the others don't have a chance to speak.
Okay, so what do you do? Facilitators. You are the facilitator, what do you do? What do you do? Abby, what do you do? And they will get really angry at you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay. Uh-huh. Then you have to ask him. I don't know. So the answer is pretty good. You know that sometimes we have to avoid. The first thing, avoid only talk to one or two people, even they have answer. Even it's good answer. You have to avoid to make it becomes a 我们叫双簧, that's a talk show. You know, in China they have like those talk shows that two people, only the two, that one, you know, one says something, the other always respond. They have those kind of shows. You know that Bible study is not just for two of you or three of you. You know, sometimes, yes, maybe you talk to more than one person. You talk to two. One on the left, one on the right. And that's the entire Bible study. So you have to avoid that. Yes, other people might not voluntarily say something, but that doesn't give you the right as a facilitator to just ask, Grady the talkative, Abby the opinionated. It doesn't give you the right just to limit the conversation between you three. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose. The whole idea of facilitating, for you to facilitate a Bible study is you want to be able to explore the thoughts of those people who don't usually talk. If you can do that, then you are a good facilitator. It's more difficult, though. It's more difficult. Also, okay, so that's the first thing. Don't avoid this. And let's get back to Ian's question. What happens if the person is always, not just once, is known chronically, is known for taking over, is known for sharing so much, is known for once he starts, he cannot finish. Once they start, they cannot stop. Once they start, they cannot stop. So in that case, there are a few things you can do. First, you can talk to them privately. Nicely, though. Nicely. Do not, go back to the person and say, hey, don't talk next time, huh? So the first thing, you know that there are good ways, there are gentle ways you can pass the same message. Now, when you are in the conversation, your point is very valid. But, you know, we didn't get a chance to hear what other people think about it. Then, if the person is smart enough, they know exactly what you're talking about. If not, then we're going to try something else. But after the few conversations, after the few try, as what Abby said, you know that you can point someone else. you can point someone, and usually that will work. But I have run into cases that didn't work. Because you point someone else, and then the person says something, right, for like a minute, and then then the talkative one will jump right back. Right afterward, he's, oh, yeah, you know what, I have to say that. And then they will take another like 5, 10, 15 minutes. So sometimes we might need to be a little bit rough if nothing works, you might be a little bit rough, which means in one of my experience, I have this 3 minutes rules. 3 minutes rules only apply to this person. But hey, we talk about it. We are friends. I talked to him. I went to his house. I spent paid several visits just to convey this idea. Why is it troubling me? And hope that he's not offended. And then after that, he laughed about it. So later on, if you want to say something, he will always tell me, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. I was like, you sure, huh? Start counting, go. you know that it becomes from something could be very offensive. If you handled it nicely, it could be some kind of, you know, entertainment during the Bible study. So he always got 1 minute, always got 1 minute. But if nothing works, you need to cut him off. If nothing works, you know, we have people, whatever we study, it doesn't matter what chapter, what book, doesn't matter. Whenever we finish the introduction, he will start with Genesis, and then talk about the love of God, and then talk about baptism, and then he ended with Revelation. In average, 25 minutes, and it's always the same content. I don't know how he was able to link the passage to every time about from Genesis to Revelation, every single time. So after a few try, convey the message, it doesn't work. At the end, I just have to cut him off. But you have to cut him off nicely, though. Do not like, okay, don't talk. Don't do that. Some of them are very old, so they don't take that well. You have to do it nicely. You know that people, when they talk, talking is very energy consuming, right? And usually in the Bible study, we don't serve you drink. Not during the Bible study. We don't serve you drink. So as he was talking, when he inhaled, that's your opportunity. So do not daydreaming, facilitator. Do not wandering off. When he, before he, next word, wonderful, thank you. That's what I do. Yeah, well, you do what you need to do. So this is wrong. What's the last one? You know that the last one is something that we talked about earlier. The facilitator is talking to himself. The facilitator is talking to him. Usually this happens to the newbies, the new one, the inexperienced one, the inexperienced facilitators. They get nervous. So when they leave, you know that there was once the facilitator, the first time leading, got so nervous. So he was praying, you know, before the Bible study. He was praying very hard. Until the point that people were poking him. It's been 25 minutes. He was so nervous, you know, so he prayed for 25 minutes. Yeah, so you know, it's okay. We get nervous all the time. Like for me to lead this class, I get nervous too. Standing here, I get really nervous. You see my leg was shaking, kind of. So it's okay for you to get nervous, but you need to overcome it. You need to work on it and overcome it by a lot of prayer and by a lot of practice. The more you are afraid of it, the worse you will do. But the more you are willing to whatever, since it's assigned, it's assignment, it's entrusted to me. I just do my best. You know that when you change your mentality and you do one, maybe it's very bad. You do two, still very bad. You do three, a little bit better. The more you practice, the better you will get. But when will you fail? When will you fail as a facilitator? You fail at the time that you give up. You fail at the time you give up. You're like, ah, whatever. I can't do it. Ah, find someone else. No, don't assign me. I embarrass myself all the time. Nobody ever talk. You know, that I always make mistake. You failed at the moment that you give up. If Jesus never give up on you, I mean, he was tolerating to sitting there for your Bible study. If he's able to tolerate you, you have no right to give up on the work. You have no right to tell yourself, nah, forget it. I'm not gifted in this, so I will never do it again. Ah, I got embarrassed. I made a mistake. Everybody laughed at me. So embarrassed. Ah, nobody talk. I did all the talking 45 minutes by myself. You failed at the moment that you give up. Okay? So facilitator, please avoid. Avoid talking to yourself. What does it mean by talking to yourself? That means when you talk, you don't look around. Maybe you prepare like 5 sheets. So I'm just going to read it through. Easy way, right? Read it through. And you do not care about the response of anyone in the group. That's wrong. For example, as I was talking, Ian got a question earlier. I have two choices. Because I don't know what his question might be. I might get embarrassed. He might jump up and ask me about the book of Revelation, which I have no idea. I can choose to sort of not looking at him, but I can choose to take on his question and have him involved. So this is your job as a facilitator. As a facilitator, you need to be having people involved and observe the environment, observe the participants. So do not just talk to yourself. You can easily go through a 45 minutes without looking at anyone. You could. But it's going to be a lousy Bible study. I mean, you might prepare wonderful stuff, though. I'm not denying your ability to Google and do a lot of research. When people come to Bible study, they print out like all the Google research and just read it through. Prepare material is good. But if you're just keeping to yourself, you're like basically talking to yourself. So you need to observe. Okay, the function. What is the role of the facilitator? Sometimes we think we have a misunderstanding about the role of facilitator. We think that our role is what? Usually we start the Bible study, and then we are there in charge of doing all the talking, and then we are also liable for giving all the answers. You know, sometimes we feel that as a good Bible study leader, we need to do all this. No, you don't. You don't. A facilitator, what is the work, the job of a facilitator? You know that during the Bible study, the less you talk, the less you are able to, the less you talk after the intro, the less you talk, the better facilitator you are. Understand? The less involvement you are in the Bible study, the better you are as a facilitator. Why? Because it means that things are going in the right direction. It means that you are able to stimulate the discussion. It means that the question that you provide is really worth discussing. It means that every little response that you throw into them, it triggers more thoughts, personal experience, feelings, input from the participant. So if you think you need to do a lot of talking, that means that you are not very experienced. So what do you do? First, you have to provide the background, the Bible study background. That's your main job. That's your main job, providing the background. Because a lot of times, our participant will be happy if they read just the chapter, if they read the chapter before they come. Let alone doing any research. Sometimes people come without any knowledge. They don't even know what book we are studying. So for you need to provide some information. For backgrounds, Especially for chapter 1, if you are leading chapter 1, it's crucial. Chapter 1 is crucial. You need to spend enough time and research to find out about why the book was written. You have to find out why the book was written so that you know the reason that you're studying it. Okay, you can go through the entire book without knowing why this book was written. You study this point, life application, this and that. But at the end, you still have no idea. What is this book for? Why did Paul write this book? Why did Peter write this book? What's the story behind it? So that's the job of a facilitator. You have to provide those informations. Structure. You also need to provide a structure. Especially for chapter 1, you need to provide the structure, how the book was categorized. For example, the one book is very crucial, Book of Hebrew. If the facilitator failed to provide a good chapter 1, then the whole Bible study for the next 6-10 weeks are going to be very complicated and very difficult. Chapter 1 is extremely essential for Book of Hebrew, because of the structure analysis. The idea why the book was written, the book is nothing but one word, compare. It compare what? In the chapter 1, compare angel with Jesus. Then compare Moses with Jesus. And then compare priesthood with Jesus. It's all comparisons for a better covenant. The whole book is nothing but comparison. Jesus is better than angel. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the old time, the priests, the Levi, the descendants of Levi. So it's all comparisons. So in chapter 1, if you introduce this, when they start studying the following chapters, then they know exactly why they were doing all these comparisons. Now, for example, the book of James that we did, you did chapter 1 already. So if the leader for chapter 1 have provided structure, then you know chapter 1 actually layout is very much a prologue, a layout for chapter 2, 3, 4. At the end of chapter 1, you talk about three things. How do you have a real, genuine faith? In chapter 1, at the end, verse 26, 27, it says, how do you have a genuine faith? You do three things. Control your tongue. Showing genuine love for the widows and orphans, right? Showing real love. And then what? Keep yourself from to be polluted by the world, which is purity. So this is chapter 1 at the end. And then if you go to chapter 2, 3, 4, you'll find out that chapter 2, talking about genuine love. Chapter 3, talking about control your tongue. Chapter 4, talking about purity. So then it will give you an idea. If you get an idea of the structure, you will make it much easier. In the future, when people ask you, well, what is the book of James about? You'll be like, something about mercy, something about two kinds of wisdom, something about reigning. If you don't have the structure, you only have a piece here, a piece there, it will be very difficult for you to remember. So the job of the facilitator is to be able to find the structure of the entire book, and also to find the structure of this particular chapter. So what is your role? Your role is like a tour guide. Have you ever been on the tour? Not by yourself. Join the tourist group. Usually they have someone with a microphone on the bus, and then will introduce you, this is what, this is that. And they will show you all the history, what's so special about this building, what's going on with this place. They will show you some stories. That's the job of a facilitator. You are like the tour guide leading the entire group, going through different sceneries, but you are not replacing them. You are not blindfolding all your guests and say, hey, let me tell you, close your eyes. Let me tell you, now we have a tree here. Now there's a park over there. You are not in the position to replace them. You are introducing or guiding them in this Bible study. So you do the introduction. As you go along the chapters, as you are visiting different sceneries, You introduce them, but you allow them to enjoy. You allow them to see the scenery. That's your job. Your third job, critical job, time control. Oh, time control. You know, sometimes we feel that we have to finish the entire chapter in order to fulfill our responsibility. Wrong. Oh, wrong. If you are only trying to drag through the entire chapter, if that's your concept, if that's your mindset before, prior to the beginning of the Bible study, you have failed already. Because that means you only want to get over with it. You just want to get over with it. As long as I can, get through the whole chapter, then I will be fine. No. Sometimes we might prepare to discuss for the whole chapter, but there are cases, there are scenarios that we only end up talking about three verses. But the thing is, maybe just the three verses, everybody got involved, everybody got excited in the discussion. Should you stop then? No, you should not. If it's beneficial. If it's biblical, edifying, let them go on. Let them go on. Do not stop them just because you need to move on. If they can get more out of it, if they can be edified through the passage, even study two verses, that's fine. Your job is not to drag them through the entire way. Your job is to make sure that they have the full exposure to the most beautiful sight. That's your job. Also, control your time. If it's over time, if time is up, you do not finish, it's okay. It's okay. As long as they get something out of it, go on. Then just code it a day. Code it the end of the Bible study. Allow people to go home with. It's so hard to translate those things to English. You know, when it comes to eating, if for delicious food, very delicious food, if we give you piles of it and you have to finish them, you sit down, wonderful food, but you cannot get up unless you finish everything. What happens? It becomes a torment. It's better for them to go home semi-empty. You ate a few, you still remember the taste, the flavor. You still want another one, but you did not get it. That's when it tastes the best. Also for you, the same. Do not try to shovel down everything to them at once. If time is up, hey, let them go home with the wonderful discussion, the memory of wonderful discussion, instead of the only thing they remember is after the discussion, they sit there for another 20 minutes just so that you can finish the chapter. That would defeat the whole purpose. And that becomes a very lame Bible study. It could be wonderful, but if you do not let them go home, you are the one that defeat the whole, that destroy the whole atmosphere. So if time is up, you know, sometimes you can go on 5-10 minutes extra, no problem. But, you know, sometimes people are so behind. I mean, they only do a few verses. They have another 20 verses. He feels that he prepared so much, so he need to share. And then he retained everyone for the next 7 hours. That's wrong. That's a very, very bad example for facilitating the Bible study. Control your time. And, of course, control the time of the sharing from each individual. Huh? If this person hardly ever share, you know, be lenient, let them talk. But if this person, you know that they're always like, you know, trying to snatch as much time as possible, you know, just cut them off or just jump to someone else. Or if they say, me, I just say, let's try someone else. Maybe. Sometimes we let them talk once and we have these 3 minutes, right? Okay. You talk, and after that, when we want people to share, we always say, "Oh, for those who has not shared." And maybe he's the only one that has shared. So that means everyone but him. Right? They understand. Okay, next, for you as a Bible study facilitator, your job, other than introduction and introduction. You need to prepare questions. It's like, yeah, easy. Prepare questions. But sometimes the way that you prepare the question or the question that you prepare will determine how good or how bad the Bible study goes. Try to avoid those yes and no questions. And try to avoid those very childish. You know that sometimes I was sitting in the Bible study, and I would, you know, that nobody would answer. No, that the facilitator might ask a question, and nobody want to answer. Not because they don't know the answer, but they think it's embarrassing just to answer this kind of childish questions. Sometimes nobody talks because they think the question is bad. The question is just embarrassing. So when you choose questions, you have to give some thoughts. You have to give some thoughts about the question that you ask. Yes? Depends on how you phrase it. You know that sometimes if it's very important point that you want to emphasize, do not ask like a very serious question. What do you think? No. Usually if it's a very important question, then you re-emphasize. And you can tell them that the answer is right in front of your eyes. But do not spend too much time on it. If nobody say anything, you just answer it yourself. Do not linger over a question that's very obvious. So for the question that you prepare, you want to have more discussion. You want to be a question that will trigger discussion. But make sure it's to trigger discussion, not to trigger dispute, conflict. You know that there are people who like to bring controversial issues. Controversial issue. Wife, submit to your husband. You know that every time when we go to that chapter, like they will facilitate would like to use that and that. Female rights. The woman right group and this and that. Should we have equal rights? Is the Bible biased against? You know that's not a good question. You might stir up the discussion, but it's not edifying. You are just trying to create a conflict. Also, when you go over the questions, the question that you ask, you want to be more life-related, like for chapter 2, you will do Bible study, I'll just do a quick example. Like for chapter 2, in the beginning, you talk about showing partiality, right? Being nice to the rich and being mean to the poor. So what kind of question you can ask? You can ask, what does partiality mean to you? Nowadays, we don't have, when rich people come in, we don't tell them to, you sit up to the podium. When poor people come in, you don't say, sit right next to my footstool, right? Just sit right next to me. You don't do that. Does it mean that you never bias? Does it mean that you never show partiality? Maybe not. Maybe you still show partiality. So that's when you can ask them and involve their own personal opinions, life experience, and ideology into it. Then you have discussion. So stimulate, make sure that you ask nice questions. Oh, by the way, you know that USGA? USGA has published some Bible study guide. Do not use them just as the way it was written. What I meant is, in the Bible study guide, they provide questions. They provide a very short intro and a lot of questions. If you, as a facilitator, you just take that book, sit unprepared, sit in, and start with, question number one. Hey, then. Violet, what do you think about it? Then she share. Good. Question number two. Because I sit in a few Bible study like that, and I have to talk to the facilitator afterward. That's what is it called? That's called lazy. That's called irresponsible. That's called failing on the duty. Why? Because you didn't put in any effort. So yes, you can use that book as your reference, but for every question that you share, you even use from the book, you have to think about it. Why do you want to use this question? What kind of answer are you expecting? Or how shall you respond so that you can generate positive result? You need to give thoughts before you ask any questions. Guiding the direction. Make sure that the discussion is not off the hook. I mean, it's not off the line. It's not off the direction. It's going somewhere else. You know that sometimes people can go really far off. So we have a discussion about the life of Abraham. God blessed him drastically. God gave him wealth. God, he has a very good life. And then people start sharing about investments. Oh, you know, I bought this mutual fund. Oh, you know that it generated 25% over the past 2 years. You should give it a try. You can be like wealthy like Abraham. What in the world? Sometimes people go really far. And then, sometimes they talk about politicians from the Bible. Oh, it's from the Bible. They derived from the Bible. But in that case, you need to pull it back. Let's see what the Bible say, huh? So do not just let them go wandering off in any direction. Huh? You do not deny their right to share, though. Even though they say something about politicians, you can smile about it. You do not like condemn them for that. No, that's their sharing. But do not let people to, going back and forth on that topic. Lead them back to the Bible. Huh? Last, conclusion. Thank you. Conclusion. Conclusion is crucial for a good Bible study. You could have a very wonderful preparation. You can have a very wonderful beginning. You can have a very wonderful discussion. But a lousy conclusion can destroy everything. Imagine that you're talking about being faithful and suffer for the Lord. You talk about the life of Paul. You introduce about his work. Then you discuss about how we can be like Paul. Everybody's, burning with zeal. We shall be like Paul. We shall live a different life. We shall sacrifice ourselves, suffer for the Lord. And at the end, the facilitator say, this is wonderful. But, this is too hard. I don't think any of us can do it. At least I cannot do it. So, it's good for talking. It's good to talk about it, but, I don't think we can do it. Conclude. What kind of image, what kind of impression are you leaving to the participant? A joke. It becomes a joke at the end of the Bible study. Because why did you just waste an hour of our time and then at the end told us that this is impossible? Telling us that, no, we cannot do it. No, it's only Paul, only Jesus. We are too weak. We can never do it. If you leave them a negative answer, a negative conclusion, then the whole Bible study lost its flavor. Also, make sure that the direction is right and make sure that there is a result. Do not leave it open. At the end, talking about this, talking about that, at the end, there's no answer. There's no conclusion. There's no confirmation. So people doesn't know. So who is right? Is he right or is she right? So you need to make a conclusion, a confirmation for the end of the discussion, and make sure that your conclusion is positive. So we can do it. So we should imitate from him. Something that will, that when they go home, when they leave the Bible in the prayer, when they think about it, the only thing they will think about is, yes, that's something I should do. Yes, that's kind of life I will dream of. Yes, that's the direction that I want to strive forward. So that's something you can provide for them. Make sure that it's positive, though. Okay. So hopefully I'm leaving you a positive conclusion for today's class as well. We will have another one tomorrow, but homework. Should I give you homework? That's negative conclusion, right? I want you to read. I'm not going to ask you to write anything, but I want you to read a passage. I want you to read John chapter 2. Just the miracle, the miracle of the wedding in Ghana. The wedding in John chapter 2, about just the story about the wedding. And think about that if you are leading the Bible study, how would you go about it? Okay. All right, and then tomorrow I will show you a few examples of how I will analyze the passage. I want you to analyze the passage. Like if you are going to do a structure about this passage, how would you do it? So if you have extra time, please do Acts chapter 20, the story of Eutychus. Just the passage, it's only like 6 verses. look at the story of Eutychus, the guy fall off the window panel. If you are doing the Bible study, how would you do the structure? How would you do this? I will just leave you with this too. Okay, that's all. Praise silence.